Hello, and a happy Christmas, and a great new year. Coming next is IM1, A New Beginning, live, recorded at the Peel Centenary Centre in front of a sellout audience earlier this year. As a live satirical comedy show, the language is somewhat fruitier than your usual fare here on Manx Radio, and it includes no end of extracting the mic out of well-known public figures, Manx Radio staff, and indeed Manx Radio itself, as well as plenty of highly suggestive language, double entendres and satire aimed at the broader-minded among the populace. We certainly don't want to spoil your Christmas break, so if you're of a more delicate disposition and any of the above doesn't sound like the sort of thing you'd enjoy, now may be a good time to check out some of the wonderful range of podcasts available here on Manx Radio via the website, the vast majority of which are highly entertaining or informative or both, with no chance of upsetting anyone at all, unless you are saintlier than the Almighty herself. If it is your bag, sit back and fill your pants. No, boots.
Manx Radio, the black satanic mill on the hill, has been broadcasting to the Manx populace, or at least those who remember to listen, for more years than most care to remember, or indeed want to. Despite numerous obstacles placed in its way, COVID, the cost of living crisis, the war in Ukraine, the Manx government, it continues to doggedly broadcast to the nation, having been made the official national broadcaster of the Isle of Man in 2019. This means the station is obliged to keep broadcasting whether you want it or not. In recent years, in a hope that something better may replace it, the government cleared the way for other broadcasters to take to the airwaves, and increasingly the web and social media. Thus it is that broadcasting organisations such as 3AM, Lethargy and Jack the Muskrat compete for an ever-dwindling audience who are all listening to something else. The presence of other broadcasting organisations has variously been described as a healthy sign of an open and competitive marketplace in a robust economy by the Cabinet Office, comms team and complete shite by social media commentator Ewan Turder, though he later removed Lethargy from the list when he remembered he owned it. Meanwhile, Manx Radio lurches on towards its 60th birthday in 2024 with the launch of its new DOB service, or Dodgy Oral Banter. The station is also hoping to bring together many of its old presenters, especially those who are still alive, for a 60th birthday bash and pay tribute to all those still working but who continue to die on air every day. It's been some time since we last dropped in on the happenings at Manx Radio Towers, but happily, very little has changed. Let's catch up with the latest happenings, such as they are, at IM1. Determined to stop raw sewage spilling out into Peel Bay, Manx Utilities have drawn up plans for a new treatment works. Chair of Manx Utilities, Tim Crickle for Nothing, is shown the site by one of the planners.
So, Minister, what we're looking at here is the future of effluent treatment in the west of the island.
But it's an empty field.
That's right. We haven't built it yet. I was referring to the plans.
Right, yes, of course. Yeah, carry on.
So currently, all the waste from the houses in this district come down the Brom and continue untreated into the sea. You ever tried swimming in there?
Well, not recently. I tried last New Year's Day, but I was just going through the motions, really.
Yes, well, that's why you see them seagulls hovering around that murky plume out near the breakwater.
Greedy buggers.
Exactly.
Mind you, they don't get mine. Now, I've been taking precautions for years. Got one of them skeptic banks where way ahead of the U-bend on this one.
Yes.
So what are you putting here, then?
Right, well, it will take a little bit of imagination and foresight.
My middle name's.
Yes, well, we'll just do your best. Essentially, what we have here is a treatment works that will receive all the nastiness from up there, treat it, and basically make it clean and shiny before putting it out to sea.
Like polishing a turd.
Exactly.
I see. So what are these things here then?
Those are IRBCs, Integrated Rotating Biological Contractors. They basically stir the effluent and treat it at the same time.
Shit stirrers.
Exactly. We like to call them the Moltons of the sewage site.
Oh, yeah, I got quite right as well, yeah. And what about the smell? Sounds like a stinky business.
Well, we've ordered a bunch of these. And we're pretty confident the smell from the kipper yard will mask any smell from this direction.
I get you. More kippered than shittered, yeah.
Exactly. Not so much bloaters as floaters.
Good, good. And can it handle all of the sewage? I mean, there is an awful lot of waste produced in Peel.
Yes, and we've got space to introduce more of these IRBCs in the future. If you know, of course, the government wants to increase the population by 15,000.
They want to do what?
Increase the population by 15,000.
Christ, I better have a look at that. Who'd have thought?
Yes, well, if that does happen, we may have to blow the solid part of the waste through the giant land-based macerator to help process it. So you know what that means.
Yeah, the shit really will hit the fan.
Hello, this is Andy Wint. When Man in Line's not on the air, don't call the switchboard. I'm not here, so you'll be talking to yourself. Amazingly, at this time of the year, I've got other things I like to do, like seeing friends, decorating Christmas trees, eating deep-filled mince pies, and buttering parsnips. So remember, when Man in Line's not on the air, don't ring the switchboard. Get a life. But remember, I'll be back in the new year.
Music to your heart from our souls.
Beth Espy.com is Manx Radio's head of news, after all the other heads of news left to work for the government or are trying to be in it. She's also Manx Radio's head of saying thank you and part-time pipe cleaner. Today she's standing in for Windy Ant on the Man in Line, a job she likens to eating wasps while sitting in a bath of rancid pasta.
As you may have heard on the news recently, Isle of Man Post Office says it's to replace the mail plane with a mail boat. To find out more about that, we're joined in the studio by Chief Executive of Isle of Man Post, Simon Le Bon. Good morning.
First of mine, won't you, Vega?
Oh, no, sorry. That's afternoon, little people.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So, Mr. Le Bon, what is the reason behind this move? A lot of people are going to see it as a step backwards, aren't they?
No, I don't think so, Ben.
It's Beth.
Yeah. I'm sure our loyal customers will understand that to fulfil our ESG commitment before it's rebranded to CSG 2023, we need to reduce our direct and indirect CO2 emission curve in line with the government policy to achieve NZE by 2050, and, of course, remaining aligned with the island's unique biosphere status.
You've run out of money?
Yes.
So
what?
So tell us about your plans going forward, bringing mail to the island by boat rather than plane.
Ah, yes. Well, we've conducted extensive research into the correct vessel for this over an extended period.
Are we talking months or years?
More days and hours, really, but all our evidence suggests that the ideal vessel is already here on the island.
Ah, the Manxman.
No.
The Ben?
No.
Manannan, then?
Not as such.
Arrow?
A little closer on the age front.
No, you'll have to tell me.
It's the Peggy.
The Peggy?
Yep. A small, stealthy craft built for speed and carrying lots of contraband, such as drugs and alcohol. She's perfect. And, of course, being a sail ship, her carbon footprint is zero.
But Isn't she due to go into a purpose-built museum?
Ah, yes. Now, well, that had been suggested, but when we told Treasury that rather than costing government several million pounds to house as a precious and unique part of our long maritime history and culture, she could actually be earning her keep and seen by thousands of people every day, mostly postmen, admittedly, in the island's harbour for nothing, well, they instantly supported the move, so I'm afraid the museum idea is, well, it's sunk.
OK, so once the Mail has sailed over to the island, what then? Surely the carbon footprint will increase massively once it's picked up by a fleet of vans.
Ah, no, not vans, Beth.
Not vans?
No, we'll be introducing the new MPE.
MPE?
Yes, the Manx Pony Express. Teams of postmen on horseback riding in relay around the Isle of Man, another win-win situation.
In what way?
Well, again, we'll cut down on emissions and at the same time give dozens of redundant tram horses something to do. To stop them, well, going off the rails, as it were.
And so will there be an airmail service at all?
Oh, yes. For really urgent parcels, we will be introducing our Tracked 96 product, guaranteeing next-day delivery, utilising scheduled flights.
So if it's next day, why is it tracked 96?
Ah, yes. Well, that is to take account of the next day delivery to London via the scheduled Gatwick flight, which will actually take 4 days.
Well, we're almost out of time, Mr. Le Bon, but I must just challenge you on your claim that the Manx Pony Express service will be emission-free. It's been suggested to us that there will actually be substantial pollution from using tram horses.
No, I can categorically state, Ben, that's just a load of old horseshit.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Mr. Le Bon. Now for some news, or news-ish.
Broadcasting from Douglas in the Isle of Man, on digital radio, on smartphone and smart speaker, online and on AM and FM. This is Manx Radio.
Removing the bishop from Tynwald would be a step forward for mediocrity. That's the view of Joni Happy Days MHK, who's indicated she wants new laws introduced to remove independently intelligent views from the Legislative Council. Bishop Buzzard is retiring later this year, so Ms. Happy Days wants changes to take effect before anyone else with a well-informed view, non-political stance and high moral values is appointed to help review legislation. She believes the current system is fundamentally flawed, as bishops in general aren't malleable enough. A public meeting is due to take place, and whilst the venue is yet to be confirmed, it's hoped to be at the Mitre.
In a strange case of history repeating itself, there was more chaos than normal at this morning's sitting of the House of Keys after the Speaker was refused entry to the building. Instead, the sitting was presided over by ex-Manx radio presenter, former MLC, grumpy cameraman, and even grumpier social media commentator, Ewan Turner Sports. Our political correspondent, Phil F***ing Gorn, reports.
Well, MHKs were just 2 hours into the session when they suspected something was amiss after the speaker told one Castletown MHK to sit down and shut the f*** up. Senecils then sprang into action asking Mr. Turner Sports to leave the speaker's chair and the real speaker, Dew and Water sons and daughters, to come down from the visitors' gallery where he'd been told to sit in silence. Officers have apologised for the administrative error which had been caused by both men having the same Christian name.
As the debate about the addition of fluoride into the island's water supply rumbles on, a new case for mass medication has come to light. It's been suggested that Tynwald's water supply would benefit from the addition of calcium. It's claimed that not only would this be good for overall health, but it would also help several members of Comin grow a backbone.
And some news just in. Ronald's Way is operating at reduced capacity this morning due to fog. Airport Director Gary Bapp says he's been in contact with the Department of Infrastructure to confirm that whilst he doesn't have many ideas, their suggestion of utilising giant fans at the end of the runway won't work. Mr. Bapp says the airport is already running at reduced capacity after the rotating radar scanner thing at the top of air traffic control became stuck in one position, meaning they can see what's going out, but have no idea what's coming in. Though fortunately for most of the time, that's nothing. He adds that due to staffing difficulties on alternate days, the airport is now operating its SHITT, or shit strategy. That's Students Help in the Tower, where sixth form students from King Bill's are drafted in to try and make sure planes don't bump into each other.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Lewis. Hey, any chance you could sing that Meghan Trainor one?
It's all about the bass.
No, leave off. Please.
Hello, I'm Paul Mulvey. Well, after a brutal few weeks in which I was hardly in the news at all, at last I'm back with another video in which I can look serious and caring. As you all know, at least I hope you do, I've been banging away about it for ages. I've been annoying the government for a considerable amount of time now with my videos in which I like to feature a lot of me, or Chris Robertshaw Hotels, or both of us, complaining about anything government-based, like a sort of political Morecambe and Wise crossed with Dew and Turner. More recently, I've been annoying them by sending in reams of these. This is an FOI, or Freedom of Irritation Request Form. They're open to anyone who wants to annoy any government organisation, public body or authority by sending in repeated requests for obscure, difficult to obtain or largely useless information. This will then take some poor sods somewhere in the food chain, hundreds of man, or let's not be sexist about it, woman hours, all paid for by the Manx taxpayer, of course, meaning that really useful work, forming decent sex education policies, effectively policing the Isle of Man, making decisions or actually passing new laws, is effectively stymied for weeks on end, or months, or possibly even entire administrations. I've resorted to using these as often as possible following the recent highly publicised case on the Isle of Man involving Dr. Marilyn Manson, in which I requested access to 140,000 emails to disclose what most of us have known for ages. Most civil servants, think MHKs and ministers, are numpties. It's a win-win situation, as if I do get a timely response, I can make more videos featuring me to talk at length about them. And if I don't get a response, then I can make a lengthy video talking about how I haven't had a response and am being ignored. I've now been victimised by government, who gave me a slap. I gave them a slap back before I realised it was actually an SLAPP, or one of these. This is a slap order issued by the government advocates, Callan Bowsers, which in simple terms is what we call an acronym. Well, I don't actually call it an acronym, I looked it up, but it means that these letters stand for something. Stop laughing at piss-poor policy. Now, I couldn't believe government was trying to shut down one of the Isle of Man's most outspoken journalists just for being annoying and making endless videos featuring me, whinging about them, albeit often with disgruntled ex-MHK and minister Chris Robertshaw Hotel. But they were unbelievable. I then received one of these. This is a spank, or spank order, which simply reads, stop pestering Alf now, knobhead. So now they're being threatening and abusive. What on earth is this all about? I'm being threatened by government lawyers that if I don't stop annoying them, they will effectively insist that all future videos that I do will have my face on, but will be voiced by Jason Moorhen, the MHK for Arbury, Russian and Malou, effectively meaning that no one will take them seriously, or at least if they do, they'll take them less seriously than they ever did before. And this I see as a clear and present threat to the freedom of the Ireland's press. And by that, I clearly mean me. If you want to find out more about this, you can go to my Facebook page, it's allaboutmetv.com, Instagram.com, allaboutmetv, the website, allaboutmetv.me.im, Twitter, now known, of course, as X at me TV, or just call me, and I'll almost certainly film you talking to me. Thanks very much.
From the Lig to Bride, online, on smartphone apps, and on AM and FM, this is Manx Radio.
Concerned about the damage to the Cabinet's reputation caused by a list of disasters which makes Liz Truss's time in government look like it's on a par with Churchill's, the £100 million Liverpool terminal shed, the Marilyn Manson tribunal, and the airport seeing less traffic in 2023 than Andreas Airfield, Chief Minister Alfred Heumann Cannon has called for a meeting of the Council of Ministers, or the Glee Club of Prospect Hill, as they're known by the Bishop, to try and conjure up some desperately needed good news.
Right. Thank you for joining at such short notice, everyone. I know that you're all working incredibly hard, but it's only right we meet today to discuss what is becoming a crisis in... hang on, where is everyone?
You fired them all, Chief Minister.
What, all of them?
Yes.
Right. This makes things considerably more difficult. Which one of you is infrastructure?
Yes, I'm very glad you asked that question.
Go on.
Well, it's you, Chief Minister.
What? Yes. I remember now. Well, what have I achieved since I took over?
Chief Minister, you have certainly been a safe pair of hands when they were required and have demonstrated unequivocally a dedicated commitment to delivering our island plan in a bold and typically transparent fashion, eschewing excessive circumspection with regard to ongoing legislative process and ensuring the dynamic clarity of linear departmental progression is judiciously expedited.
Thank you. Thank you, Al. I knew I could rely on you for some consummate nose-to-bottom work.
Thank you, Chief Minister.
Lots of reinforcing government com.speak, which sounds really, really impressive, but means absolutely f*** all.
It's the way we tell them, Chief Minister.
So could we... We could do with someone... getting someone in... Someone else, really. As clearly, I've had my go now, and as usual, nothing has happened, so... Right, who have we got who's charismatic, an innovative, radical forward thinker who's prepared to think out of the box, tenaciously follow their vision for streamlining complex work schedules into one clear master plan for the island to drag infrastructure into the 21st century and communicate this clearly to the populace?
Oh.
Shit, a brick, no one!
I think everyone has had a go now, Chief Minister. At least all of those who had an outside chance of being taken seriously.
Oh, bloody hell. I'm going to ask Tim Call to come back for a few weeks. I should tie things over until Christmas with little chance of anything happening, by which time John Thomas will be bored of not having any reason to spend his days building huge spreadsheets of statistical breakdowns which no one understands, and forgive me for sacking him off.
For what?
Sacking him off! Tim is that wise? Well, committed and experienced politician who has consistently stepped up to serve the island when needed.
But then he usually falls back down again.
Yeah, well, we'll worry about that later. We are where we are, and we just have to crack on. So to business, right? I need ideas. Anything you've got which puts us all into a positive light. Anyone? Anything?
We're going to put some wind turbines up.
Right. That's it. F*** off, Barbie, you're fired.
What?
Perhaps we could give everyone an incentive, like a nice one-off gift, like a free ride on the Manxman. Considering the Steamy turned a profit this year and all, and we do own it.
Right, yeah. I think we're onto something there, Al. That sounds like a great idea, just the job. Government cash with government smiles. Can we afford it?
No.
Jesus Christ, what do you mention it for, then?
Well, I just wanted to suck up a little.
I don't want to be sucked. I want to be popular!
Hang on. There's always this.
The bloody Love Isle of Man card? How's that going to work? There's only 10 shops on the island. Take the friggin' things, and 4 of them are closed. They're about as successful as making Bobby Collister a minister. He used all mine last Christmas.
Is that why we all got Laxey Wheel tea towels?
Right. Whooping cough, what about you?
It's not really my remit or the remit of my department, the Department of Health and Social Care. That's more Manx care, really, you know. And it's more about the policy, and we must keep these things at arm's length. And it's just a really good question. I'd like to answer it for you, but I just think it's better if I leave the Manx care. You know, I'm currently balls deep in waiting lists, which I don't really think I can put a positive spin on, although I'd really like to. We could say that the delay in people's treatment is a way of ensuring that they are taking these decisions about the treatment seriously, you know. We're not rushing them, but, you know, before we do anything, must reiterate that it's not really my remit, it's more Manx Care's remit, and we must ensure that I stay within my remit, which is the Department of Health and Social Care's remit. Essentially, we must ask the bill payer's permission and terms and conditions apply.
Well, what the f*** was that?
Well, that's not even my remit either, or the remit of my department.
Stop.
I know. Could we get them all to sing your name?
How do you mean?
Well, to a popular tune, like at the football, so every time they hear your name, they start singing.
I obviously like that idea in principle.
You know, one Alfie Cannon. There's only one Alfie Cannon.
Cannon. One Alfie Cannon. There's only one Alfie Cannon.
One Alfie Cannon. Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah.
What about this one? What's it all about? Alfie, is it just for the moment we live? What's we sort it out?
Alfie.
You're fired.
Retirement celebrations for civil servant Bob Curring were marred yesterday with the discovery that he had died in 1996. Workers were shocked as they approached his desk on Friday with a cake to mark his 68th birthday, only to find he had no pulse. We knew he hadn't been terribly productive recently, but his performance was not out of kilter with other executive officers in the department, said his CEO from his second home in Cyprus. Minister Lord Brengen has bemoaned Mr. Curry's performance and threatened to have him chained to the radiator as an example to others. Mr. Curry's union representative was incandescent at the heartless approach of the Orifice of Human Remains and insisted that long-term public servants should be celebrated, not demonised. Bobby Moffat Jr. II said, "If we can swing an afternoon nap for air traffic controllers, I fail to see why not being alive should be an impediment to a successful career in the civil service." Chief Minister Alfred Cannon Fodder has issued the standard workplace apology and has reached an out-of-court settlement with Mr. Curran's next of kin for feelings that would have been hurt had he been alive to feel them.
Health Minister Larry Hoopincough says the situation regarding access to GP practices on the island has now reached crisis point and must be dealt with as a matter of the utmost urgency. Mr. Hoopincough was speaking after the matter was raised various times by what is thought to be around 97.8% of the island's population. The minister says he now regards the issue as life and death and on a par with the COVID crisis of 2020. And he set up an emergency meeting with the island's GPs to discuss the matter. It will take place 3 weeks next Thursday by phone.
Yeah, before you go, Lewis, any chance you could give us a Tom Waits number?
No, just no, 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 no.
Want to know how to piss off the whole of the Manx population? Travel's a good one, so whether that's wrecking people's flight plans at the airport or wasting a fortune on a new shed for passengers waiting for the boat in Liverpool, I've got some great advice on PG tips this week for wannabe DOI ministers. Got some handy ideas for spending 30 million on a few hundred yards of road, too. All that on PG tips with me, Phil. What the f*** are these ministers doing? Gone tomorrow at 6 p.m. on Manx Radio. We'll be looking at the new tourism and transport strategy too. You really will look forward to going back, if you can get a flight, of course.
Hello, this is Maurice Powell, Manx Radio's music supremo and new heartthrob to the Love Island generation, inviting you to join me this Thursday for my new programme, where I'll be featuring music from the likes of Justin Bieber, Iggy Azalea, Chesney Hawkes, Boyzone, S Club 7 and the Sugar Babes, among many other power pop combos, with your chance to win an evening with me, DJ Mozza, helping me man the decks and get it on, baby. It's sick, bruv, know what I mean? That's A Little Shite Music with me, DJ Mozza. Be there or be square, dude.
Whether you like live music, drama.
Can I ask the health minister how many people are on the waiting list for a hip operation?
Or running around in circles pretending to be a superhero?
I'm delighted to make three announcements today.
You'll love KeysTynwald.com with the House of Keys play area, pretending to be a grown-up in Tynwald, or moving up to the Legislative Council for those times when only a quiet snooze will do, undisturbed by the hustle and bustle of real life.
I quite like a bit of peace and quiet now and again. I certainly don't object to prayers.
Check out the House of Keys order paper for upcoming events. Don't bother with the LegCo one, there's rarely anything on it. Or go to thekeystynwald.com for details of how you can stand at the next election. Keystynwald.com, the island's premier entertainment complex. Get paid to play, be an MHK.
For countless years now, Manx Radio has been at the heart of the island's agricultural community, which many commentators felt was very apt, as both are closely associated with copious amounts of bullshit. Simon Clark Shoes presents the Countryside programme, which often features all manner of sheep, cows, balers and ploughs pulled by game old mares who are still ridden every day. His co-presenter is Kiri Kermode and Bignall. Today, they're reporting from one of the highlights of the agricultural year, the Royal Show at St John's.
Yes, welcome to the show field here at St John's. We're about to find out who's going to receive the ultimate accolade this year, Best in Court.
Yes, Simon, it's great to see so many of these great political beasts lined up in one place. It really is quite a spectacle, and it's going to be very difficult for the judges to make a decision.
Yeah, that's right, Kiri. I wouldn't like to be in their shoes, and not just because they're covered in cow shit either. So, looking at the initial lineup, and there's a lovely young heifer there.
Oh, yes. Bred by the Christian family known as Claire. She's in lovely condition, beautiful coat.
And shoes.
Yeah, high heels, not perfect for the mud, but they do look good.
Must be in with a chance, and right next to her, lovely filly.
I think she's a mare, actually, Simon. From the Lord Brennan stable. Again, great condition for her age, excellent at dressage, I'm told.
And the odd jump, I'd imagine, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then look at that fantastic old boar. Been here before, of course.
Yes, it's one of the Thomases. known to the family as Chris. Looking pretty hungry, like he's been kicked out of the sty there, Kiri.
Yes, Simon, but still good breeding. The figures are all there and his stats really add up.
Yes, but do they make any sense? That's the question here, I think, Kiri. Will he be going anywhere this time or just stuck in that pile of mud?
Only time will tell. Let's hope he can take home the bacon rather than just becoming another banger.
It needs a winning streaky, Kiri. What's up the top there? Is that a hen?
Yes, it's a moor hen. It's called Jason and comes all the way from Castletown, Arbury and Maloo.
In with a chance, you reckon?
Not really. Too many questions.
No answers, I expect, either. We've seen a few like that recently. It's the first time I've ever seen a weasel in the lineup, though, Kim.
Yes, from Allenson's nursery. Now, closed, of course, but Alex, as he's known, is still going, and I think he has high hopes of making it to the top one day, if he can keep going long enough.
Now I see there's a small flock of fairly scraggy sheep there too, Kiri. Should be right up your street, as it were.
Yeah, lovely to see the sheep here.
Do they have any names?
No, we don't know any names. They're all from the Benches estate. There's quite a few of them, but no one really has any idea of who they are or what they're doing there, just sitting around wasting space at the back of the field.
Backbenches, I suppose we could call them, couldn't we? A lot of bleating going on, but not much else.
Yeah, in the background a lot of the time, as they are today, really. Not chance of actually achieving anything and not an individual thought among them.
Lots of woolly thinking, I'd imagine.
Oh, aye, plenty of that. And then they'll all just follow each other in whichever way the leader of the pack goes. No chances of seeing any surprises there, Simon.
Well, then we've got a splendid-looking bird over there, right at the top, Kiri. Is that an eagle?
No, Simon, that's the bishop.
Right, well, is he in with a chance?
Well, he would be, but sadly he's about to fly off by the looks of it.
Right then, they're saving the biggest and best to last.
Yeah, the big bull from the cannons of Kirkmichael.
Bringing up the big guns there, Kiri.
Yeah, amazing looking beast this, known just as Alf. Pretty grumpy and fed up by the look on his face, but great pedigree, bred by an old supreme champion, of course. Great horns.
He's looking quite horny today, too.
Well, let's hope he doesn't jump on anyone, but we can see there he's got the ring through his nose, of course, which means it's pretty impossible for him to do anything off his own bat. Whoever tugs the ring leads the way.
What's it attached to, then?
Treasury, Simon. Oh, look, the judge is stepping forward. I think he's made his decision. And yes, as we thought, he's gone for the Alf.
Oh, no, we're in for Mold Bull then this year.
Yep, and he's gone for the Lord Brennan Filliers First Reserve.
Straight from the horse's mouth there, Kiri. So what happens to the rest of them now?
Well, it depends, Simon. Some of them may be back next year, some will be put out to grass.
And the poor sheep?
Oh, I think they'll be for the chop.
Or chops.
Manx Radio specialist music output has been essential listening for literally dozens of listeners since the mid-70s. The latter also being the age of the listeners. In an attempt to get this down, several programmes have been rebranded. DJ Mozza will play purely rap and house in a little shite music, and Sweet and Swing has also been rebranded to appeal to a different audience.
A very good evening to you. And welcome once again to Sweet and Swingers. Music from the 20s, 30s and 40s for the swinging fraternity on the island. So if you like jumping your neighbour to Jack Hilton or humping your friend's other half to Harry Roy, stay tuned. But to get us going tonight and hopefully to get you going, some Henry Hall. And this is for Mr. and Mrs. M of Foxdale, who say their son, let's just call him are, turns 21 today, and he's celebrating by having a go with their good friend and wife of Mrs. M's brother at a party tonight in his honour. And they'd like to play this next track just to ensure he's taking the right precautions whilst he's on the job, as it were. So, they'd like to hear Henry's "The Sun Has Got His Hat On." Let's hope he has.
Of course, you may recognise me from Manx Radio's early breakfast show, which I presented every year since the death of Marconi. Every morning, we start with a mix of happy music to cheer you all up, then unremittingly bad news to make you all miserable again, safe in the knowledge that it doesn't really matter what I do, as most of you are asleep. If the news isn't quite miserable enough on its own, there's always the weather to make you wish you'd never even woken up in the first place. Let's have a quick look at the weather now, and it's down to the Met Office. And good morning to Kirsty Pendleton.
That's not my name.
Get over it. What's the weather looking like?
Well, Alex, the rest of the day looks fine, with just occasional blobs of rain bobbing up from time to time to darken the horizon. Temperatures will be around the usual for a Friday. Then tomorrow it's all changed as the weather is different, with more of the same on Sunday. Monday is looking better, with a fair amount of sun, wind and rain in roughly equal quantities during the first half of the day, but that won't last. Tuesday is a lovely day with clouds so high you can't see them, and those you can will remind you of My Little Pony. Wednesday is much hairier from beginning to end, with that trend tending to thicken as we head through the rest of the week, with Thursday better, but then we can do it all over again on next Friday.
Well, thanks for that.
Moving on to the week after that, and radar pictures resemble what can only be described as a man with a spasm let loose in an old Etch-a-Sketch with lines everywhere, indicating that it's going to be a lot windier than, say, parts of Botswana for several days, though temperatures will be similar around the middle part of the week, that is to say, pretty transient for northern prairies.
Great, well then...
Into next month, and it appears it could be the calm before the storm, as there's almost certain to be one later in the year at some stages, and there and when it does arrive, the Met Office have called it Storm Abdul Bin Salman. He's already paid us for it, but staying relatively flat like a nun's tit for the earlier part, before picking up later in the month when we could see rain, wind, sun, air and gas, but spread around the northern part of the island for the most part, with southern and western parts staying benign from a tumorous point of view.
Stop now.
Beyond that, it looks like we could be on the run-up to Christmas, as we often are again at this time of year, with air masses rolling in across the Baltic and out again through Annika.
Stop!
But those won't bring any of the white stuff until at least next Easter, so that's good news for gardeners among you, and a quick glance forward for your weather over the next 10
Stop
years.
Stop it! Stop it!
2024 looks like it could be humid at the end. 2025 seems to compensate for this with arid patches around May, so good for the TT, but not in June, but the following June 2026, at least in the later part, would appear to have below usual rainfall patterns, so parish walkers will need to take plenty of reusable water bottles. 27 to 2029 are all dull, but there's a sign this could change to brighter fang-like spells from mid-2030, though not much through the rest of the decade, so make the most of that if you can, as I imagine it won't last.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut it!
Do you want the tide times?
No, I don't want the bloody tide times!
State of sea?
No!
Pollen count? Flood watch?
Oh, go away!
Which way the clocks go at the end
go
of summer?
Go away! Go away!
Well, if you feel like that, bugger off. See if I care. Just don't come crying to me if you get drenched or freeze to death because you haven't put your vest on in the winter.
Kirsty Pendleton there with the weather.
Right. Morning, class.
Morning. Morning. Morning.
Yeah. Well, as you all probably know, this term, sex education lessons are going to be a little bit different.
Quiet now.
Shush. Now, following the recent recommendations by the Department of Education after our drag queen lesson earlier
Can
this year...
Can we do that again?
Ooh, we like that.
We like that one.
Listen.
Please, come on.
Following the new recommendations from DEFA, which have been carefully thought out at great expense to the taxpayer and for your benefit...
No, it's not.
Shut it, Merkin. For your benefit, and after just a year of consideration, we now have the new policy. In the simplest terms, this means that every lesson will be joined by a parent selected at random from the ones who were whinging, regardless of whether or not they had any children at the school, who will sit silently at the back of the class and hoot a car horn every time they think something inappropriate is said. Is that clear?
That sounds rubbish.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, here she is, I think. Got the horn? Right. On with today's lesson, then. And today we are going to be dealing with the ins and outs of procreation. We'll be dealing with the
practicalities of reproduction. Now, you may or may not have an idea of how this works.
Of course we know.
We know.
All right. Well, it all starts with someone loving someone, of course, or at least it should start like that. Now, many of you might not have been in love before, but you might have experienced it elsewhere, with pets, perhaps, a little doggy. A little dog as a pet sometimes, or perhaps maybe a little pussy, a cat. Or perhaps you might have thought of your parents loving each other, two halves into one whole. Or perhaps bird life, the little robins, or wrens, or sparrows, or birds, or herringbills, cormorants, shags.
So don't some people have fetishes on clothing?
Yes. Well, yes, I haven't really quite got there yet, Johnny,
but
yes.
What sort of materials,
yes, some
sir?
People do.
What sort of materials?
Oh, well, things like furs and PVC and leather and rubber, Johnny. Anyway, back to the lesson.
Sir.
Yes, Carly.
Christian's glued himself to the wall with chewing gum again and can't move.
Oh, God. Well, don't just sit there. Help pull him off. Right. Very good. Now, one more gag like that and you're all getting lines.
Sir, how do I plug this iPad in? It won't work.
Don't stick the cord in there. Of course it won't work.
Where then, sir?
Oh, there. There, for heaven's sake, up the bottom. Right. That is it. You're all going to get 200 lines.
Oh, sir, that's not fair. We haven't done anything.
Because you all keep trying to blow me off. Of course! That's it. We are going to write out, we must not take the piss out of Sir during sex education lessons 200 times.
Can we copy and paste there on the iPad?
No! This is strictly pen and paper. A good old-fashioned longhand job. And you can stick that car horn up your...
Well, one of the great successes in recent years has been the arrival of the cruise ships to Manx shores, putting the island on the map and in direct competition with other island destinations such as the Bahamas, the Maldives, the Galapagos Islands and Madagascar. It's hoped the island's multitude of attractions will attract the tourist pound to Manx shores, being spent at any of them which might, with a fair wind and a reasonable amount of luck, be open and working. Rhiann Evans has been speaking to a couple of tourists aboard the new Staten Dam to get their reactions.
Yes, well, I'm here with Esme and Lou, who are visiting the island for the first time. Where are you both from?
We're from Seattle.
And are you regular cruisers?
Yeah, Rhiann, we go on three or four a year on average.
Yeah, we've seen 200-year-old tortoises on Galapagos, blue boobies.
Been on a forest walk with orangutans in Borneo.
Picked vanilla pods in Madagascar.
Hey, and we've enjoyed Dom Perignon champagne on the beach in the Bahamas.
And so what did you make of your visit to the Isle of Man?
Well, it was...
Different.
Yeah, that's right. It was different.
So what did you do?
Well, after the little tender thing dropped us ashore, we enjoyed a nice mile's walk.
In the rain. It was so cute.
Yeah, it was cute. And wet. Anyway, we enjoyed a nice mile's walk along the promenade, such as it is. I mean, gee, you guys never thought of having that modernized? I mean, getting some proper walkways, painting the railings nice colours, putting some coloured lights up, you know, making it look welcoming for tourists?
Yes, well, we just did.
Wow. Did they just make it up as they went along?
Anyway, We eventually got to the place where you can get those horse trams. I mean, pulled by the horses like the Amish, right?
Right.
Oh, my. I just love horses and that old-fashioned transport.
Yeah, yeah. And we just stood in the middle of the road for an hour or two in the rain. But then someone told us they weren't running.
I was so disappointed. You'd have thought someone would have told them we were coming.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, anyway, by that time, there were about 100 or so of us waiting.
In the middle of the road. Really weird place to wait.
Yeah, yeah. So eventually we asked someone where we could get the electric trams, and someone said at the far end of the promenade. So we looked for like a yellow cab or...
It was a day off, apparently. But we found one who took a few of us to the far end of the prom.
Yeah, we thought 50 quid was quite expensive.
But it was Monday morning, and the rest of us walked another 2 miles in the rain.
Yeah, yeah. It was still raining to where you could get those electric trams.
It's next to an old bomb crater or something.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, looks like nothing's been done there in 50 years.
And they were running pretty good, too.
Yeah, yeah. Some good views of some old demolished buildings, some fly tipping.
Some nice countryside, a lovely old pub.
That's right. We were going to go for a beer, but... sadly, that place was derelict.
Amazing, really. Beautiful-looking glen.
That's right. But we eventually got to the great Laxey Wheel.
And that was impressive.
Biggest water wheel in Europe, they say.
The world, maybe. You know that?
Yes, I did. I live here. So was that working?
Yeah. That was. I mean, it was going round and round and round and round. And round and round.
But pretty good value at 50 quid each.
Yeah. It was a shame all the bit at the back still completely knackered, but you'd have thought with it being such an important site and all, they'd take more care of it.
And then we went up to the top of that little hill. What's it called again, Lou?
Snaffle.
Snaefell.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Great ride to the top.
And did you see the Seven Kingdoms?
Oh, we did. We saw the Kingdom of Fog.
The Kingdom of Mist.
The Kingdom of Rain.
The Kingdom of Wind. The Kingdom of Cold.
The Kingdom of Cloud and the Kingdom of Drizzle.
Yeah. And then we came back down again. Hey, that was considerably more exciting than the ride up.
And a lot faster.
Yeah, I didn't think the brakes were working at one stage, but I guess that's just all part of the white-knuckle experience.
But then we got back into Douglas via a World War II coach. That was the highlight of the day.
Wow, yeah. Now, that really was worth seeing. Best historical comedy recreation I've ever seen.
Really? What on earth was that?
Oh, yeah. Hey, it was just like this really cookie white building on a little hill.
Oh, it was made to look like a little wedding cake. It was so funny.
And you could go in and you could sit and watch these guys and girls doing these comedy debate routines.
There was this little guy at one end in a big wig who was like the circus master in a big wooden seat.
And all the others, well, they sat on these little benches, and whatever their name was called, they all stood up and talked crap for as long as they could.
Before that little guy in the wig told them to sit down again.
It was all complete shite. And then one guy, called the Moorhen, he kept standing up with more and more questions. Were absolute bollocks.
They all looked so serious. It was hilarious. It was just brilliant. Highlight of the day and free.
Yeah.
Where was this?
They call it the House of Keys. House of Nutters, more like.
I think you sat in on a sitting of our government.
No way.
Really?
Jeez.
You guys are really in trouble.
Tell me about it.
This year's MGP remains mired in controversy after the final race of the event. Michael Dunlop won the RST Classic Superbike MGP, setting a new lap record in the process. However, the victory was overshadowed during the presentation ceremony when he was kissed on the lips by TT commentator Chris Kinley. Beth Espy has the details.
Mr. Kinley says he thought the Ulsterman had given his consent, but now accepts that was not, in fact, the case. Speaking from his hospital bed, where he's recovering from a knee to the crotch injury, He says he now realises what Mr Dunlop had said was, you miss me in the pits, and not, you kiss me on the lips. The event is threatening the running of next year's MGP, with many riders now refusing to take part unless Mr Kinley agrees to kiss them should they make it to the podium, be it up top or on the bottom.
Yeah, hello. Ben, what do you want? Yes, I know the Weller man. What about it? No, I'm not doing the low bit in the chorus. Leave it, will you? Thank you. I was born under a wandering star.
I was born under a wandering star. Oh, wheels are made for rolling, mules are made to pack. I've never seen a sight that didn't look better looking back. Oh, I was born under a wandering star. A wandering, wandering star.
Will you just f*** off?
A New Hope was written and performed by Edwina Roach, Fertile Sows, Annie Shaver, Basil Richthofen, Rammed Pear, Hebe Types, Islamic Worlds, Acorn Milks, HQ Ricky Rusk, and Rash Injections. It was a lastminute.com production for Manx Radio. You may now clap very loudly and shower us with gifts and cash, which we'll place in brown envelopes for future use. Please welcome back on stage your casts.